Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land and the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. I was in elementary school in the 1960s, and I heard a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. Unfortunately, I didn't connect very well with some of the wisdom that he shared with our world about peace. I was the kind of kid that when someone wronged me, I was ready to take revenge. Perhaps that's how you were too. When I was about to do that, my mother invariably would step in and she would say, "Two wrongs don't make a right." Perhaps you've heard that expression. Perhaps you've said that expression. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who said it just a little bit differently. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." I connect real well with that statement today because I've seen people try to drive out darkness with darkness, and I know it just doesn't work. It makes it darker. It makes life harder. And I think about what God was doing when he sent Jesus Christ into the world. So many people can quote from John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But it's that verse that follows John 3:16, which is so incredibly important for you to memorize as well. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the overarching purpose of Jesus' arrival into this world. We are steeped in sin. We are fallen. We make mistakes every moment of every day. And yet when God sent his Son into the world, it was not to condemn us or to punish us or to bring darkness, but rather to bring light, to rescue us and to save us. And Jesus Christ is a great light. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 that in order to bring this light to the world, that Jesus left his hometown of Nazareth. It says in verse 13, "Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali." The reference to the lake here is the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus Christ came throughout Galilee to bring the light of God. Now, why did Jesus leave Nazareth? If you continue to read the Gospel of Matthew, you'll come to chapter 13, and in the 58th verse, you'll read Jesus talking about exactly why he left Nazareth. It says, "Only in a hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And it says in Matthew chapter 13 that Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Faith. It was lacking in Nazareth. In John chapter 1, in verse 5, it says that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So in this world, just as it was in Nazareth so long ago, there is the failure to understand light when it's right in front of us. People miss it. People miss it because of their lack of faith. Faith is instrumental to our witnessing the power of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. In your heart and in your mind, you can underline the word earnestly. That's a powerful word in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In the original language, exido, and it can be translated diligently, it reminds us of what the prophet Jeremiah said when he was speaking on behalf of God. We read in Jeremiah 29, "You shall seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It doesn't say with three-fourths of your heart. It says with all your heart. A number of years ago, the Chicago Bulls seemed to be winning every NBA championship. And once in a while, the Chicago Bulls would lose a basketball game. And inevitably, there would be a crowd of reporters sitting around Michael Jordan. And they would say to Michael Jordan, "What happened?" And do you recall what Michael Jordan would almost always say? Well, sure you do. He would say, "I guess I didn't bring my A game." And that is the problem with so many Christians. We don't bring our A game to God. We lack the faith that we need when we go to prayer, when we talk to God. It's almost as if we don't think we're worthy of God healing us or rescuing us or delivering us. And this, dear friends, was the central problem for the people of Nazareth. They looked at Jesus and they did not have faith. So they missed out while a lot of other Galilean communities witnessed the power of God, because Jesus was at work in Capernaum and elsewhere. Jesus would not remain in Capernaum. No. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43 that Jesus said to the people of Capernaum, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Now, if you sneak back into the 42nd verse of Luke chapter 4, what you read is that the people of Capernaum were trying to keep Jesus from leaving them. They wanted to keep him in that town. But Jesus was saying to them, "I have light to bring, and I need to bring it to all of Galilee. I need to bring it to all of Judea. It needs to go to all of the world." Because God loves all the world. He wants us to live with Him forever in heaven. And so Jesus says in Revelation 3, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come into them and eat with him, and he with me." So it's His intention to live with you and me forever in heaven. Now, the gospel writer Matthew in chapter 4 takes us back into the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. And he quotes from Isaiah with these words in Matthew 4, verse 15. "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." And we can stop right there and see this as a signal. This is the light coming to you and to me, that Jesus Christ did not come only for the Jews. He came for the Gentiles. And so this mission must spread out unto the whole world. Matthew continued the prophecy of Isaiah with these words in verse 16. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." What an amazing verse that is. This great light which has come to all of us, people who are living in the land of the shadow of death, they're in darkness, walking around, and cannot find their way until Jesus comes to show them the way. That's a great light. And that light can be seen from very, very far away. Here in the United States of America, we have what are called lighthouses. In Boston, there is a lighthouse called Boston Light. It is America's oldest lighthouse. It's about ready to celebrate its next birthday. It'll be 303 years old. You know, it used to be that a keeper had to turn it on and off, but now everything is fully automated. That sounds like a big deal, 303 years. But that's nothing compared to the light that's been burning through the church because of Jesus Christ for over 2,000 years. People were living in death's shadow in Galilee. We read that in verses 23 through 25 that Jesus was going throughout Galilee. It says he was teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. I love that. It spread all over Syria. The people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And then it says in verse 25, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So the crowds were swelling. Jesus was famous. His light was going everywhere. And Jesus still heals. He heals now through you and me. As we pray, he's still bringing light unto people who are living in death's shadows because he is such a great light. But dear friends, with this light, there comes a message. And this is part of that message. It says in the 17th verse of Matthew 4, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So the message is telling you and me that we need to repent, to repent. And the idea in the word repent is to turn. So if you are caught up in drugs, you're to leave that behind, turn and follow Jesus Christ. If you're caught up in stealing, you're to leave that behavior behind and to turn around and to follow Jesus Christ. If you're caught up in a spirit of gossiping or complaining or talking behind people's backs, you're to take that behavior and to put it away, to turn around and to follow Jesus Christ, because those are sins. It's easy for us to see the sins of the world and then pat ourselves on the back and say, I would never do that. But you and I have so many subtle sins in our lives for which we need to repent. They may not be as dramatic as alcoholism. A gentleman by the name of Craig had been an alcoholic for more than 12 years. He'd lost everything. He lost his wife, he lost his child, because of his selfishness and because of his addiction. He gave his life to Christ, and then he found himself working in a store. He had a job where he was helping to stock shelves. And you know, on those shelves were some of his favorite drinks. So what resulted was that he went back and forth between following Jesus and getting drunk. He could not stop. And then one day he felt God leading him to quit that job, and so he did. And then he found himself in a very difficult position because he had no money and a stack of bills to pay. He interviewed for a new job at a sheet metal company, and he cried out to God and said, if you give me this job, I will give to you my very first paycheck. Sure enough, he got the job. After a couple of weeks, he got that first paycheck. He had a stack of bills to pay, and he was otherwise penniless. But he took the check and endorsed it and drove over to his church and handed it to the treasurer. before the offering was taken on Sunday morning, he wasn't going to wait and let anything tempt him to do differently. And so he gave away all of that money unto God. And you know, his life changed. He stopped drinking. He's been sober now for 25 years. He's a manager at that sheet metal company, and he serves as an elder in that church. God has changed his life. Now, friends, this message of repentance is for you and for me. The need to repent does not stop after we become Christians, does it? We're still to repent of our sins and to turn from them. So how do we repent? We repent by clearly stating the sin to God. And then what we do is we replace that sin with a godly behavior. Yes. Now, this is not a New Year's resolution. This is a new light resolution. This is good news in our lives because God wants to change us because he's healing us, not necessarily from physical sickness, but from patterned behavior that we engage in. So what is it that we do? What is it that we're up to that we know is not pleasing to God? This is the opportunity as we come to the Lord's table for us to take seriously what it means to turn from sin and to turn to Jesus Christ. It's good news. It's good news. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4, we read that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. It's good news. It's good news what Jesus is bringing because he's changing lives, that their lives will be better. In the 12th verse of John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Eternal life is the gift that God gives to us. That is the good news that we have to share. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus said these words, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And so the good news should be visible to all the world through us. So the question that's on the table right now is, how is the good news visible through you and through me? I can give you some concrete suggestions. Number one is to do good works among people who are not yet believers. It's not difficult for me to sing a song or teach a lesson in front of people who already love Jesus. They're happy to pat me on the back and say, "That was nice." But you know, when you do good deeds in front of people who are not Christians, they're not so quick to pat you on the back and to tell you that you did a great job. No, they're struggling with what you're saying. But do you know what you're doing when you do that? You're bringing light to a dark place. And that's what God is saying to every one of us this day. Bring light to a dark, dark place. Another thing that you can do is simply pray with people. When they're going through a hard time, a challenge, a struggle, is just to say, "Can I pray with you right now?" And you may simply be on the telephone with someone, and you know that still works. You can pray to God while you're holding that phone up against your ear, and God still listens to your words, even though you and that person you're praying for are not in the same room. I encourage you to pray with people, to pray for people. Thirdly, you can share God's promises with other people. Promises that you find in the Word of God. From Philippians 4, verse 13, we read that I can do everything through him who strengthens me. And so the promise is God provides strength for you for the trial that you're going through. That's light. When people hear the Word of God and they know it's a promise God is making to them, that brings them light. That changes their lives. And so we go into places at times which are very dark. And that's what Jesus did. It was a dark world in which Jesus lived. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 8 that John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord. And what it says in that 8th verse is that John was not the light. He was preparing the way for the light. And then in Mark's gospel, we read in the first chapter that John the Baptist was put into prison. That's how dark the world was. John was simply baptizing people in the Jordan River. He was preaching repentance, and he got put in jail and eventually was executed. And so it says in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news, saying, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near." Now, what that should say to you and me is this. People have a limited amount of time to choose to decide to believe in Jesus. We shouldn't waste any time. We should share the light with people who do not yet have it, because they only have so much time in this world to receive it. And so in the 15th verse of Mark chapter 1, we hear these words from Jesus Christ: "Repent and believe the good news." Every Thursday afternoon, we tutor children at Riverview East Academy. We help them with their reading. It was 13 months ago, we were wrapping up a session on a Thursday afternoon, and we shared the gospel with the children. And then we prayed for any one of them to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And one of those girls opened up her heart and asked Jesus Christ to come in. And she was saved on that day. And then about 4 weeks later, she was baptized here in this church. Joined this church and comes here frequently with her aunt and her uncle. And every time she walks in the door, she's got a smile on her face. You know why? Because she knows that God loves her. And she knows that you love her. And that's good news. And that's why we should believe in Jesus Christ. And that's why lives should be changed. And that's why this great, great, great light should shine through you and through me. May we pray. Loving God, Jesus is a great light. This light has dawned, Father, in this earth. And we give praise and thanks to you that we may reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father God, to be willing to go into dark places to shine your light and to extend the loving hands of grace to our neighbors everywhere. May you, Lord, be glorified through our worship and all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our communion hymn is number 140. We'll be singing stanzas 1, 2, and 5. May we stand.